This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
. 2018 was a crazy year for the social media players, none more so than Facebook. But social politics aside, retailers have realized the potential these channels have over their business. And it's no wonder if you search for stats in this area, it's all growth. As we build up to our Enterprise Rocks Retail Conference happening on 14th of March, details can be found at bfm.my/rocks. I decided to bring in the largest social network player on the show, Facebook. Facebook, of course, not only owns one channel, but they are also involved in Instagram and WhatsApp. Both have a strong presence in the retail sector. Nicole Tan is with me today on the show.
Hey, my name is Nicole. I am the Facebook Country Director for Malaysia.
And Nicole, let's start by talking about what happened in the year 2018 for the SMEs in the retail space.
So let's just focus a little bit on the retail first. Now, retailers, obviously, they see double-digit growth on the e-commerce side, but brick and mortar is still very important. And I think the latest information we have is the retail sector is expected to grow about 4.7 or about 104.4 billion this year alone, and e-commerce penetration is only at 5%. So for a lot of retailers, brick and mortar are still very important. But a lot of retailers think that or they equate offline channels to offline sales. What we're seeing from a lot of our information is that 69% of people are actually discovering first about a brand or a product on mobile, and then they're completing that purchase. And only 48% of them are then completing it online. The remaining is actually completing it offline.
This is a Malaysia trend?
Yeah, this is a Malaysia statistic. Mm. So what this tells you is people are searching, people are discovering, people are finding out about new products, new brands on their mobiles first, and then they're making a decision of whether they are purchasing it online or offline.
The online space or the e-commerce, m-commerce, whatever you want to call it, it's not the nail to the coffin when it comes to the brick and mortar guys then?
I would say it's a double-digit growth, that's great, but it's still a small segment of the total retail, and there is still a role for brick and mortar, and both channels are important, offline and online. But I think the way to view it is consumers want to discover new brands and new products, and then find the most convenient way for them to actually purchase the product. Mm-hmm. That could be via online. That could be via Lazada or whatever e-commerce platforms there are. That could also be when I am on a Saturday shopping mall and I head to a store. So it's not so much comparing one channel with the other, but thinking of an omni-channel strategy.
Has the consumer behavior changed throughout the years because of the advent of more knowledge about what you can do online and the ease of buying things online? And also, I think brick and mortar is also innovating. Like you talk about the omni-channel experience, having that single experience, whether it's offline or an online store. Have the consumer's behavior trends changed?
Yeah, we do see some changes in terms of mobiles. Absolutely. It's a mobile-first world, the way we would describe it. So the way that people are discovering new things are definitely on their mobiles first. So that's one big change. And we also see that from a mobile perspective, they are leading from awareness to action a lot faster. What do we mean by that? Now, in the past, when you're deciding to buy an article of clothing, let's say a dress, you might see something, think about it, and then compare how fast you purchase it could take anything between 3 to 5 days. Mm. Now you could make that decision because of mobile, because of things that you see online, you could make that decision within a much shorter span. So we talk about making sure that it's a zero-friction world. So if I see something that I'm interested in buying, I am in a position to choose whether it's going to a store or buying it online immediately.
What would impact that decision, though?
So the stories that you tell around what the brand is, what the product is, demonstrations of how the product works, all those things would help.
Even reviews and stuff, which kind of leads on to many people's kind of trust onto a brand that they probably don't know, and they're looking at reviews and what their friends are talking about and stuff.
Well, I think that would be one aspect of it, but the main point would be discovery.
And Instagram is also part of Facebook. You're sporting an Instagram t-shirt. And how big is the Instagram space in terms of discovering new brands in the retail space? interface for...
So we would say both Facebook and Instagram are important in terms of places of discovery. There are nuanced behavior around Facebook. So I would be very clear that both channels are important. Facebook's a place for a community for family and friends. So, and it's also a place for discovering of news, brands and products. Instagram also has that, but sometimes the nuances are slightly different. With Instagram, people are happy to connect with a celebrity or with a brand a lot easier than with Facebook. So I think that would be sort of like slight nuances that we see between Facebook and Instagram.
But it's a lot more visual on Instagram.
It is a lot more visual on Instagram, but we're also seeing that change happen on Facebook because we also have Facebook stories. We also have vertical videos on Facebook. Both are, I feel, very important channels in terms of places of discovery, places of finding out about information around products and brands.
So it's easy for the consumer to go and discover a new product online because there's just so many channels for them to do that. What about the challenges on the retailers instead? What are they facing at this point in time?
So I think coming back to my first point, a lot of retailers tend to think offline sales means I need to market through offline channels. But what's actually happening is people are discovering first on mobile and then they're deciding where to complete that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the marketing investments still need to go on mobile first.
There is a correlation between your online advertising expenses and your offline sale as well.
Exactly.
There is a correlation.
Exactly. Because people are spending the time on mobile first.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, in Facebook, we have 23 million users and 100%, almost 100% of them are mobile. And we know that they spend about 3.7 hours on Facebook and Instagram across our family of apps. So if they're spending time there, they're discovering a lot of new brands and new products. So I think the myth is... If you want to get offline sales, you need to do offline channels. But in reality, people are spending time on mobile. So you need to make sure that your brands and your products can be discovered on a mobile, regardless of where they actually purchase.
And we are spending a lot of time mobile. Some would even argue that we're spending way too much time on our mobile phones. And that would lead to, I guess, one of the areas where a myth, you would say again, in terms of the amount of money that need to be spent online to get, you know, a fraction of the eyeballs that is, you know, that we need, doesn't quite justify in terms of the sales that I would get, the number of sales that I would get. How do you go about in educating retailers to doing an advert or a campaign online and an effective one as well?
I think just to take a step back, we know that from we recently did a study, Future of Business 2017 survey, where we see when small medium businesses or when businesses adopt digital tools, they do see a positive effect. They see a 65% increase in sales. They see they're in a position to go into international expansion. In fact, 52% of them do. And 37% of them are in a place to increase employment. So we know digital tools adoption is really important to help a business thrive and to grow. So I think one thing retailers can do, and all small medium businesses, is to really look into online tools and digital tools to help them step change their business. The good thing is we know how important that is, which is why Facebook took the initiative to do a couple of things. We believe in free scaled learning, so things like Blueprint, where if you are a small medium business, including a retailer, you can quickly go on Blueprint and find out what are the right things, what are the good best practices to help you drive results on your marketing efforts. The second thing that we've put in is Cross-Border Insight Finder. And I think that's something very powerful because what it does is if you are a small medium business or a retailer and you want to go into a new market, how are you finding out your information? Most likely, you are asking around information from people who have gone before you, perhaps reading a couple of articles, but you don't have enough resources to do a full-fledged research. What the Cross-Border Insight Finder does is you can put in the category that you're in, and it gives you an idea of how competitive the landscape is in the different market, how cost-efficient it is, and how many people will you be able to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second thing that we've done. The last thing is we've revamped Facebook IQ, and that's really around insights. We know that whether it's retail or different kinds of businesses, you want to know specific vertical insights for your business. And so you can find vertical insights and vertical information. I would say those three things would help a lot of retailers in step changing their marketing efforts. And we know that through online skilling, upskilling, and online training, that's one way to make sure that you have cost efficiencies in driving your marketing efforts.
I'm speaking to Nicole Tan, the country director for Facebook Malaysia, talking about the retail space. We'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
And we're back with me, Jeff Sandu, and my guest for today is Nicole Tan, the country director for Facebook Malaysia. Earlier on, we were talking about the changes in the landscape and consumer behaviours. Nicole, one of the things that you did last year was the Made by Malaysia campaign that helped local businesses to start and grow as well as scale internationally. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so it came coming from the same research, we know that, as you probably know, Malaysia is a trading-friendly country, and export is a great opportunity. We're part of the Southeast Asia region. We have 600 million consumers that we can market to. One interesting statistic that I'd like to share is how 87 million people around the world are already connected to a business in Malaysia. So we have a ready audience, but not many people know that. And not many people are thinking of cross-border, and not many people are thinking of export. We see 82% of businesses, once they're ready to go export, they actually see very positive effects as well. And digital tools can help them achieve their goals. That's how we arrived at Made by Malaysia. So Made by Malaysia is a partnership between Matrade and Avana, and to train 2,000 SMEs who are already export ready. What we mean by that is, as retailers would know, you need to make sure that you have export distribution, logistics, infrastructure, to make sure that you are then being able to go global. And then the missing part is usually digital marketing and e-commerce platforms. So that's why we work with Matrade and Avana to train 2,000 SMEs. So far, we've trained 1,000 SMEs across the nation, and we're hoping to train another 1,000 more.
The other thing is you had Retail Day, which is educating retailers on how to develop campaigns and also to grow their business. How did that went, and what did you find when doing this? What was lacking in the retailers today? The understanding for them, and you know, your own learnings from this Retail Day.
So we did two Retail Days last year, and we talked to 150 retailers. I think one important learning is exactly what we spoke a little bit earlier, where there is this notion that if it's offline sales, you have to do offline channel, and people are missing out on a huge audience or a huge mobile reach because they don't realize that actually people are spending time on mobile, they're discovering on mobile, and then they're making their decision to buy, whether offline or online, after that. So I think that was one big learning that we got. The second big learning is, people don't realize that Chinese New Year is actually a really high sales period. So people tend to do sales before Chinese New Year, after Chinese New Year. But during the Chinese New Year period itself, we actually see 1.2 times more conversions and 2 times more conversations happening. And that's partly because, you know, people are in a festive and celebrity mood, and they're actually still shopping.
You would shop more during this time around.
You would shop more during this time
around. And how would one jump into doing being mobile ready? Because that is apparently now the thing I've been hearing about, we are mobile first. So how different would one have to think about moving to mobile ready if they say, yeah, I'm already on Facebook, I'm already on Instagram, I have a store. That's not enough. So how do they turn that mindset into being mobile ready?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think what retailers can do to make sure that they're mobile ready is to first look at their content. On mobile, the way that people view content is slightly different. Attention is heightened, but you also have to capture their attention very quickly, and they generally have very short attention spans. We talk about how humans have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. And that's why when you're creating the content, what's important is to make sure that it's creating for short. So we recommend things below 15 seconds. We also recommend that you design for sound off, making sure you have subtitles, making sure that it is understood even if the sound is not on, having bright visuals, making sure that the key message, your key product and your key brand is upfront. Those are some of the things you can do from a content perspective. From a commerce perspective, there are two shifts that we're seeing. Make sure that from the time that I'm discovering the product, I'm in a position to then purchase it. So leading from awareness to action. This could be a call to action. This could be a learn more or a sign more button. It could be something where I click to buy. And of course, the other big thing that's happening is around messaging and social commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So we see 10 billion messages exchanged between businesses and consumer every day. That's up 8 billion a year ago. So that's 10 billion every single day. And, you know, we have two platforms, which is WhatsApp and messaging. One new information we have is we now have 3 million businesses on WhatsApp for Business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because people like to communicate with businesses through Messenger. So think about your Messenger strategy when you're thinking about your commerce strategy.
And also talking about messages, chatbots was another big trend in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see enough retailers here in Malaysia utilizing that in their Facebook pages?
I can share an anecdote that what's interesting is, you know, when you have a Facebook page and you have a Facebook for Business page, you immediately have a Messenger and people, it creates a presence for you and you know that this is the business that you work for. Probably a small plug, but, you know, I order my durians via Messenger. I book and reserve restaurants via Messenger. So it's great because people know that that business is, and then, you know, they know who that user is, and then they can quickly message a business to make reservations, to check whether it's open, to reserve a durian. So that's great. And so we think that, you know, I want to separate out chatbots from messaging overall. Messaging overall is definitely increasing. We don't think it's a trend. It's just the way that people, it's an important way of people communicating.
It's just our consumer behavior. We are used to communicating to someone on the other end. And on the online world, there used to be a separation and you always feel like you're not talking to an individual, you're talking to a brand. And now it's trying to humanize it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're doing what we've always been doing, which is we want to communicate with businesses and to get information. And this is another platform that helps us do that. And we're very comfortable to do it via messaging.
Mm.
So we think that messaging will continue to be the way that people communicate, whether with each other or whether with businesses.
Personally, for me, I don't quite like seeing ads on, you know, on any channel, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, even in videos within Instagram and stuff. How do you go about with, you know, the larger number of people who are getting frustrated with ads that are coming in and out and, not relatable ads to them or irrelevant ads to them? And retailers feel like, you know what, the amount of money that they spend on ads is just going to be, you know, blocked by some pop-up blocker or some ad blocker and stuff. And how can they go about with that notion?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said people don't want to see irrelevant ads. That's essentially how we've built our model of business. I mean, people tell us all the time that they don't want to see irrelevant ads. They want to see relevant ads. Ads that are relevant are very useful for you. When you're deciding to go on a holiday, you want to see things that are relevant to what you're searching for, and it helps you make decisions and maybe perhaps make you help you in the way that you would decide about something. So people want to see relevant ads. I think that's important to acknowledge. And that's why on Facebook, what we try to do is make sure that we are showing relevant ads. Yeah. And that's true targeting, that's true great content, and that's true a native way of using, the native way of interacting with our platform.
What kind of insights would one get when they have a Facebook page or an Instagram page that's actually really useful and you see they're not utilizing this data set or this data key enough to create an experience for their brand? Besides just, you know, the number of likes and the demographic between age group and stuff, what kind of insight that you feel we're not using it enough?
I think it's useful for businesses to look at their audience insights and to understand demographics, interests and behaviours. We also encourage people to do measurement and to test and learn what are the things that they want to get benchmarks around, whether it is the right reach, the right creative, the right conversion levels, the right lifetime value. So developing your own measurement benchmarks is important.
And you can use that for looking forwards as well, not just understanding what happened in the past, right? The numbers. It's now moving beyond as well. It's understanding, it's predicting what will happen next as well. Can people use that too?
Yeah, so I would be careful with the words predicting because you won't be able to predict. It would be more, I think the way that I would think about it is you're testing and learning and you're in a better position to understand what has worked and how you can take what has worked into your forward plans.
Yeah. And talking about forward plans then, what about Facebook Malaysia's forward plans for 2019? What are you excited about? What are you looking at? What are some of the things that you're testing that you're hoping to see kick off in Malaysia for retailers and for SMEs here in Malaysia?
So 2019, we see three trends happening. I think we can talk a little bit about each of those trends. The first one being video, stories and messaging. On video, we recently launched a watch, and that's really good in markets like Asia Pacific and Southeast Asia. People tend to like watching video, and I think what watch will do is bring the magic of social into video watching again.
What do you mean by that?
So if you think about when I was growing up, you watch TV with your friends. And, you know, you can laugh about something together. Like, you know, I remember watching 7 p.m. sitcoms in front of the TV with your family, right? And there was a magic moment of just being able to share with that something. Now, we live in a very different lives where some of our closest friends live in a different country. But I would like to bring back that social element of, you know, for example, we launch Watch Party. What we can do is I can watch something together with someone who's in the UK or in the US, and we can laugh about it and we can make a comment about it. I think that magic of social will come back with Watch and Watch Party. And I think that's how we've created, well, how we've thought about Watch and Watch Parties.
That's for video?
That's right. Then the second one is stories. So stories continue to be the way that people like to express themselves. Part of that, we see that it's because it's ephemeral, it's authentic, it's extremely creative. You can put stickers on it, GIFs, you can put face filters on it. It's great for both users as well as advertisers. Recently, McDonald's ran a campaign with us where they created some animated videos to launch their McFlurry and McCafe, and they got 3x sales out of that campaign. So stories definitely continue to be a strong way of how consumers want to express themselves and how advertisers can also run campaigns. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is messaging, as I mentioned earlier. So messaging, we have 10 billion messages exchanged every single day. And WhatsApp and Messenger are both important, and businesses continue to... I think we've talked a lot about Messenger.
And that's why for SMEs, it's important for them to be in, you know, various different platforms and to have that, you know, omni experience that they can provide.
So from a retailer or from an SME experience, we actually recommend something called automatic placements. So we let the algorithm find what is the best place, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. And that's precisely for that reason that people look at Facebook. People come onto the platform for different reasons at different moments, and they're both important platforms. And that will help retailers make sure that they're not choosing one over the other, and they are in an auto, they can pick on auto placement to be both on Facebook and Instagram and Messenger.
And that was Nicole Tan, Country Director for Facebook Malaysia, talking about the retail industry from the eyes of a social media giant and how it's important to be mobile first if you're a retailer. Facebook Malaysia will also be one of our panelists during the Enterprise Rocks that's happening on the 14th of March at Bangsa South. This year, our theme is about the experience, as retailers are in a tough spot. Shrinking profit margins, copycat manufacturing and fierce competition. To survive, you need to be better than just good. You need to be exceptional, and being exceptional comes down to one thing, the experience. You can find out more information and get your limited promotional price tickets at bfm.my/rocks. If you missed any parts of this interview, you can download the podcast. It's on our website, app, or stream it on Spotify. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.